welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the story of a popular saint, the great friend of St. Francis, and that is St. Clare. This is the 800th anniversary of the founding of the Poor Clares. Stay with us for a little about St. Clare on another Stories from the Heart. Throughout the world in 2012, the 800th anniversary of the founding of the Poor Clares is being celebrated. The simple life of St. Clare, who lived in a small place outside Assisi's medieval walls, still speaks to us. And why is that? Her spiritual quest resonates with our yearnings to live authentically from the fire of love within. Clare's virtuous life made God's love real to countless others. Many stories about her life encourage us to grow in holiness, to imitate her enthusiastic love. On Palm Sunday, 12/12, worshippers at the Cathedral of San Rufino were joyfully anticipating Holy Week celebrations. After 10 years of war, Assisi citizens were looking forward to being reunited at their church. In the cathedral's piazza after Mass, they were all abuzz over the most unusual behavior of Clare, daughter of Favaroni and Ortolana. Clare had not left her place to join the other elegantly dressed noblewomen to receive a palm from Bishop Guido. She seemed wrapped in a dream. When the bishop left the sanctuary to give her a palm branch, they wondered, was this part of the ritual? Why did Bishop Guido notice her? They could not have guessed that he was blessing her plan to abandon her home and dedicate herself to a life of poverty and prayer. Clare's stealthy nighttime departure from home had been thought through carefully. For years she met secretly with St. Francis of Assisi to devise her exit strategy. A noble woman, she was a firstborn daughter of the Offreduzio family who resided next to the cathedral. Their castle windows overlooked Piazza San Rufino. Choosing not to marry, she rejected the expectation of her father and his knights that she would accept an arranged marriage to a suitable nobleman. Escaping the watchful eyes of the household required extensive, careful planning. Clare's spiritual journey to a penitential life had begun at home through ascetical practices, prayer, and acts of charity, especially contributing money and food to the poor. According to Beatrice, Clare's sister, St. Francis heard about Clare's reputation for holiness and spoke with her many times, encouraging her desire to renounce her wealth and status in order to serve God in a new way. These conversations confirmed his intuition that Clare could lead women who would live in the repaired church of San Damiano. In 1205, Francis had responded to Christ's call to rebuild that church on the hillside outside Assisi's city walls. While working on the repairs, he prophesied in French, "Come and help me in the work of building the monastery of San Damiano, because ladies are yet to dwell here who will glorify our Heavenly Father." Since women were to live there, he built a dormitory over the church. The empty place awaited its community of holy women. Under cover of darkness, Clare left her home, trusting absolutely that God would provide. What a radical decision to reject marriage and to live without any security, because she chose to be in union with Jesus, who had nowhere to lay his head. At least she would have this monastery at San Damiano. Even though it seemed absurd to imagine women choosing to live outside those sturdy medieval city walls, Francis and Clare acted upon their divinely inspired messages. The gospel of Jesus guided their new way of life. She and her companion left through the gate and were soon met by friars who led them to another small chapel in the valley. This chapel of St. Mary of the Angels, her little portion, was the third church that Francis had repaired. There he heard the Gospel of Luke speak very clearly, "Proclaim the kingdom of God, take nothing for the journey." Inside the chapel, Francis cut off her hair, ritually declaring that she had left the world behind. Claire and Francis knew that her family's knights would try to bring her back. After all, her marriage would strengthen a military alliance with another noble family. Claire was resolved to remain a virgin. Years later, Claire wrote to Agnes, Princess of Bohemia, who had renounced marriage to both the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick and his son before entering the Poor Claire Monastery that she had funded. "You took a spouse of a more noble lineage who will keep your virginity ever spotless and unsullied the Lord Jesus Christ." On Monday of Holy Week, the friars accompanied Claire to the Benedictine Monastery of the Abbesses, only 3 kilometers away. Approaching this monastery, Claire felt anxious. Uncertain when her absence would be detected, she knew that her uncle, Manaldo, head of the family household, would try to carry her back home. What irony! Claire was condemned by her family and suffered their alienation while participating in Holy Week liturgies. Manaldo, indeed, led a contingent of knights and asked to be allowed to visit Claire. They found her in the chapel. Pulling back her veil, Claire exposed her tonsured haircut and then clung to the altar. This action signaled that Claire had given herself to God as a consecrated virgin. Clinging to the altar invoked papal protection for anyone who entered this chapel to flee from violence. The knights left without Claire, who continued in her prayerful resolve to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, living without a dowry, as had the Benedictine nuns. A week later, Francis, Philip, and Bernard accompanied Claire past Assisi. On the side of the Mount Subasio, Claire temporarily lived in a villa with women penitents. Her dream of living a life of poverty in the footsteps of Jesus was coming true. Her feet seemed to skip with joy. The spring flowers were bursting with great fragrance under a warm sun. Claire's spirit soared with new freedom. She had no weighty things to carry because she was following the poor Christ. A few weeks later, Agnes, her sister, joined Claire. Soon, several other women arrived to form a nucleus of the community that settled into San Damiano the following September. She lived there until her death on August 11, 1253. Written at the end of her life, Claire's testament recalls, "When the Blessed Francis saw, however, that although we were physically weak and frail, we did not shirk deprivation, poverty, hard work, trial, or the shame of contempt of the world. Rather, we considered them as great delights. He greatly rejoiced in the Lord." In less than 3 months, Bishop Bartholomew recorded 20 eyewitness accounts of Claire's holiness. Pope Innocent IV had requested that Bishop Bartholomew promote her canonization. In November of 1253, the bishop and a small committee interviewed sisters who live with Claire at St. Damiano. In the official life of St. Claire, put out within 3 years of her death, the world learned of Claire's healing touch. The beloved crucified took possession of the lover, and she was inflamed with such love of the mystery of the cross that the power of the cross is shown by signs and miracles. Claire's reputation as a healer became widely known in the Umbrian Valley. Mothers brought children to her with the hope that Claire's practice of making the sign of the cross on the forehead of sick people would bring them healing. Knowing this, St. Francis sent her brother Stephen, whom she cured of madness. Many of the sisters who lived with Claire testified about the healings that happened at San Damiano through Claire's touch. The source of Claire's healing power flowed from her contemplation of Jesus and meditating on the Gospels. Sister Benvenuta said, "Claire was very assiduous day and night in prayer. Claire appropriated the grace of her baptism to become one with Jesus so that through her the gospel was proclaimed. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Claire's departure from her family's castle exposed Assisi's social unrest caused by inequity of power and possession. That social status determined one's standing within the feudal system contradicted Jesus' prayer that all may be one. Claire's great love for Assisi and desire that fighting would stop is still recounted every June 22nd with the Festa Devoto. Assisians fondly recount the story of Claire, who in 1240 saw a group of mercenary soldiers approaching San Damiano's monastery en route to Assisi. While she prostrated herself before the Blessed Sacrament to beg for divine protection, she heard a voice say, "I will always protect you." Claire rose from prayer, confidently assured that the sisters, that they would be protected, and that Christ said that the city of Assisi would suffer afflictions, but will be defended by my protection. And so it happened. Living a vowed religious life requires a public commitment to consecrated celibacy within a community for the sake of God's quest. Claire's steadfast conviction to live poorly without the backup security of landholding, such as other monasteries possessed, was widely known. Soon other women's communities desired to live in a similar manner. At first, Claire was governed by St. Francis's form of life. Through her 40 years of life at San Damiano, she wrote a form of life for the poor ladies, there becoming the first woman to write a religious rule of life for women. Today, a woman joining the Poor Clares faces a radical departure from lay life into consecrated life, does not experience the external drama of a nighttime escape from home. However, the wrenching emotional detachment from family and peers, along with the personal ownership of things such as a home, a car, or even a computer, require the same discernment and firm conviction that Claire of Assisi showed. A passion for God remains the only sustainable reason to join a community of celibate women whose personal and communal prayer forms a core of their lifestyle. The example of the joyous troubadour, Francis, and the prayer of healing power of Claire continue to challenge people today to examine how they follow the footprints of Jesus in today's world. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, St. Clare's Gamble, was written by Sister Ramona Miller and published in St. Anthony Messenger Magazine. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.